today we're going to do something a bit different, but I hope that this will be illuminating and informative for you. Today I'm going to walk you through my journey through Spiral Dynamics Stage Green and what it actually looks like on the ground. This is a Deep Psychology podcast. I'm your host, Ross Edwards, writer, meditation teacher, founder of deep-psychology.com, and avid lover of all things psychological. In listening to this podcast, you're part of the worldwide deep psychology community of tens of thousands of people undertaking profound personal transformation. You can join us on any of the major podcasting platforms and make sure to visit the site deep-psychology.com for lots of high quality resources. Let's get started. So I was inspired to make this episode because I'm making a new four-part episode series at the moment called Worldviews. It's like a series of videos that detail the different worldviews that run through human society at the moment, like the four big ones. And I've been researching these worldviews in a lot of depth and understanding them in a way that I never have before, even though I've been researching this stuff for many years. I've just really understood it in a much deeper and a much more fundamental way, really understanding why these worldviews exist. And in doing that, what I realized is that I am actually a very, for the last sort of 8 to 10 years, I've been very involved in Spiral Dynamics Stage Green. I'm quite a liberal-minded person, quite left-wing. And studying this theory over the years, it has illuminated that for me. But really, this time, doing it again with such care and such precision and really writing about them carefully and really trying to understand them, it's helped me, it's illuminated parts of my psyche that are still sort of stuck in stage green in an unhealthy way. And so it's inspired me to make this video because I feel that what often happens when we teach spiral dynamics is that we talk about it in a very abstract way. We talk about it in terms of the theory, what the original thinkers said, or what other leading thinkers say on the subject. Or we talk about examples. We might give examples of it, concrete examples, but these examples tend to be in the world. You know, it tends to be like political movements, or it tends to be like spiritual groups, or it tends to be people or political leaders who tend to lean towards stage green. And all that is really necessary, I think. But I think what makes it real, what really touches you, is when you understand and you see stage green in yourself and you really understand all the facets of your psyche that operate from that level. So what I want to do in this episode is I'm basically going to improvise. This is not how my usual episodes go. Usually they're all planned out, especially recently that I've been taking you through the spiral dynamics levels. I'm just going to take you through my spiral dynamics journey, my spiral dynamics green journey. If I was to take you through all of them, it would take quite a while. I'm going to focus on spiral dynamics green. What does it actually look like? You know, what's the transition into green like? What's it like when green really starts to come online? What does it feel to experience some of these things that are talked about in the theory and that everyone else talks about, but they've maybe not really put into concrete terms? That's what I want to do today, and I hope it helps you get a really strong understanding of this stage and all the other stages. So it's interesting because when I look back on my entrance into Spiral Dynamics Stage Green, I realized that it all happened in about the space of a year to 2 years. Like, I mean, the it all got downloaded very quickly. You know, it was like very wholesale change in my psyche and in my life and in my value system and in my friendships and in my hobbies and everything else. It all got inundated with Spiral Dynamics Stage Green in about the space of a year or two. I'm not kidding. However, I also in, as I said, in making this worldview series, I've realized that certain aspects of my psyche are fundamentally still, that's where they're operating from. You know, it's like the worldview governing them. Things like politics, things like business, things like my views on war and so on are very green. And that's not necessarily a judgment. I'm just saying that, you know, this, the whole, it all got downloaded very quickly. You know, all the entire package of spiral dynamics, the theory would say, got downloaded very quickly. But actually, it's lasted for almost a decade now. You know, the influence of spiral dynamics staged green in my life. And I don't know if that's unique to me, because I'd have to, you know, ask people and find out. I don't know. Maybe you can tell me in the comments what it's like for you. But I'd be interested to know, you know, how long does it take for like it all to get downloaded typically? And then how does that relate to how long the stage dominates in a person's life? In my case, it was about mid-2016 to, you know, sort of the end of 2018. I think that's when everything sort of came flooding in from spiral dynamic stage green. And I'm going to walk you through all of those facets right now. So we're going to start by talking about my transition into stage green. It sounds like I've had like an operation, a surgery or something. No, what I mean is that, you know, that there's, when you look back on these stages, when I look back on spiral dynamic stage green, there is a sort of transition. There's like the end of orange dominance, and then slowly, you know, your worldview changes, your values change, your psychology begins to change, and you really change as a person. But what is that transition period like exactly, and what precipitates it? I think what happened for me is that I discovered meditation. I think that was one of the main factors that caused me to start transitioning into spiral dynamic stage green, because I was sort of, it felt like I was sort of looking for something. I'd had mental health difficulties for 2 or 3 years before that, and I'd recovered from that. But I felt like I was sort of in the aftermath. I was kind of coming out of a certain phase in my life and going into a new phase. And at that point, I felt like I wanted to sort of discover new things. And I had this gnawing sense of that I was looking for something. I remember it was the summer holidays at university as well. So I had a bit of time on my hands between doing my studies and doing an internship. I had some time on my hands, and I was sort of, yeah, I remember I was looking on YouTube, just watching videos on YouTube casually. And this video came up called How to Meditate. I remember thinking, that's a funny one, because I've seen a Beatles video talking about meditation, and they were talking about it, and I didn't really understand, but I've heard the word meditation a lot, and the Beatles have been talking about it, and I was going through a Beatles phase at the time. And so I kind of thought, well, let's give it a try. You know, I've got all day here. It was a summer's day and I wasn't doing anything. So I clicked on the video and I did, it was like a guided meditation, 20 minutes or so. I remember doing this, and I remember immediately something clicked in me. And it's taken a while for me to understand what that was exactly, but I remember having this insight that I've been having thoughts my entire life, and I've always believed that they were me. And the extent to which that has caused me difficulty in life. And from then, I committed to doing like a 90-day challenge, I think, or 30 days or 90-day challenge, I think it was. And I did that, and I got really into it. I got into experimenting with different meditation techniques. I started reading, I started reading books. I started looking around for different teachers and so on. And so I think what happened is that in trying meditation, I got a glimpse of something in my first meditation, which is quite unusual, I think. But And then being in that world, you're exposed to sort of stage green people and ideas and teachers and so on. And I think looking back, just doing that, getting involved in meditation and starting to get involved in that world, mostly virtually for the first year or so, it was a mostly virtual thing. It just got me, you know, it got me exposed to stage green. It got me exposed to ideas of like, oh, you know, well, happiness shouldn't depend on material possessions. It's about, you know, the quality of your life. It's about how present you are. It's about how psychologically healthy you are. This is all very stage green. And, you know, meditation teachers often, they are quite stage green themselves, and they talk about sort of like loving everyone and using your meditation practice to develop love and to be non-judgmental and so on. And so meditation played a big part in that, and it comes back later on. What also happened at that time was the YouTube channel that I did the guided meditation on had a lot of other videos related to personal development. And I think they themselves, I'm not going to name names, they're a famous YouTuber and they've got quite a big audience and they talk about personal development. That's general enough, but if you know who they are, then you might start to guess who it is. They always released videos that were sort of moving into stage green territory, you know, sort of criticizing science and criticizing capitalism and criticizing modern life and the sort of dark side of modern life. And I'd never been exposed to anything like that before. Like the people that I was friends with and my family and just everything else that I'd absorbed in or been exposed to for my entire life, never said anything like that. And I think a light bulb went off in me a little bit. You know, I'd been coming out of a period of mental health difficulties and I was sort of felt like I was looking for something else. And then this, I find this YouTube channel, I find meditation, I find all these teachers, and suddenly I'm exposed to all these new ideas that kind of contradict everything I'd done before. But I think I was ready for that because, you know, I'd been through a difficult time. And I'd also, you know, I'd already been pretty successful in my studies, both in school and at university. And at that time, I felt that I had a good sort of profession lined up for myself. It turned out that I didn't go down that route eventually, but we'll get to that. And yeah, I think in the sort of first 6 months, that's what it was about. I don't think wholesale change happened. I think that was sort of leading up to like really big wholesale change happening in my life. And that would come more in 2017. Mid-2016 to the end, it was sort of exposure to these new ideas, doing meditation, you know, listening to this YouTube channel I was listening to, and other ones started coming in around that time as well that were more spiral dynamic stage green, talking about the things that I've just mentioned. I can identify in 2017 is a big year for Ross when it comes to spiral dynamic stage green and it comes to my development as a person. And looking back, without all of that stuff, I probably wouldn't be sitting here talking to you and I wouldn't have my business and I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now with deep psychology. So just to sum up what happened in 2017, I did a few psychedelic trips that showed me things that I will never ever forget. And it showed me spirituality, but not in the you know, reading the Bible and memorizing the Bible sense. I mean, direct experience of spirituality. It showed me that so powerfully that I can't ever forget that. I'd had experiences like that with meditation sort of 2016 as well, but not, I mean, I'd had glimpses of like, you know, the realizations that spiritual teachers talk about, but nothing really strong that really convinced me. And my psychedelic experiences in 2017 were extremely important. I went vegan eventually in 2017. I made new friends who were totally stage green. And I didn't really realize at the time, you know, it didn't make sense to me at the time. It makes perfect sense now. I look back and it's like, yeah, they were pretty, you know, they had all the markers of stage green people. I also got really serious about meditation. I did retreats. I did solo retreats, in fact, and that continued on into 2018, which we'll get to. My career ambitions totally changed. I graduated in June 2017, and I had, you know, I could have had a really amazing career in terms of, like, financially, I'm talking, in the field that I chose for myself, and I'd been working towards for 5 or 10 years by then, but I just couldn't go into that career for so many reasons, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. So I think we should start with the psychedelic experiences. So this YouTube channel I was talking about, one of the themes that they were involved in was psychedelics and how to use it for spiritual insight. And I was open to that because after doing meditation for 6 to 12 months, I was having glimpses of things. I wouldn't say I was having like amazing spiritual insight, but I was starting to see that there was something really real to discover here, and that I could be spiritual without being religious. Such a cliche, but it's so true. And the experiences that this person were describing on his channel were just like, they were amazing. I'd never heard anything like it before. And so I managed to get my hands on some mushrooms. And I did mushrooms on my own one Friday night, I remember. And what I got a really strong glimpse of in that mushroom trip was how powerful your mind is, how powerful what our sense of identity is, how the mind is like a cage, how the mind and a body operate like a cage, and they keep you locked into this like very narrow, these very narrow thought patterns and your sense of who you are, your history, and you know what you've got to do tomorrow and what you've got to do the week after, and all your fears and all your insecurities and so on. That stuff got temporarily wiped away from me. And I was just left with this clear, open awareness, beautiful, clear, open awareness of everything around me. And that was a precursor to much deeper spiritual experiences I would have. What also got a very strong sense of was emptiness. So the Buddhists, one of the main doctrines in Buddhism is this idea of emptiness, that really the substrate of all our experience and really of all of life is emptiness, in that all phenomena, they come from somewhere and they go to somewhere, and that somewhere is emptiness. It is that which doesn't have any form to it whatsoever, no shape, no size, no color. And, you know, I'd heard this after exposing myself to Buddhism a little bit around that time, and it sounded nice, you know, and I'd heard people experiencing it and saying it was amazing and wonderful and all this, right? But I never really understood what it was for myself. This psychedelic trip showed me very clearly what it was. And that was very powerful. It was a glimpse. It didn't make it a permanent thing, but it was a powerful glimpse, and it showed me again that this stuff is real, that these meditation teachers aren't just making it up. Buddhism isn't just making up. This is actually real. What also happened to me, and looking back, this was very important. It felt important, but I maybe underestimated that at the time, was that When I did the mushrooms, when I just started the trip, I was in my living room and I was looking out the window, and it was snowing, like very, not heavy snow, but, you know, quite a considerable snowfall. And in the first sort of 20 minutes to half an hour of when the effects started coming on, I was like taken so beautifully and so directly into the present moment. And all my mental chatter got silenced quite remarkably. And just like for that 20, 30 minute period, there was no mental chatter, really. Or it was like whispering at best. But the dominant experience was just my visual field and my senses. It was just like pure clarity, pure openness, pure awareness. And then I remember looking at the snow falling, and all of a sudden I had like this, with the falling away of the mental chatter and the seeing my mental patterns and everything else, I remember going into this very, this high state of focus as I was looking at the snow falling. And it was just the most beautiful thing I have ever seen in my life. And no, I wasn't seeing like shapes or animals or anything, as people think that you do on psychedelics. I bet it does happen. It's never really happened to me very much. I was just so present, like so unbelievably present in a way that I'd never been before in my entire life. And the joy I got from that presence was just so beautiful, because it was just me looking at the snow and that was it. And it was just, it was gorgeous. And I didn't want to be anywhere else. Whereas if you look at your ordinary waking consciousness, often we do want to be somewhere else. And this is a huge source of misery for us, I think. And I was just, I think the key insight I took from that was how present we can become and the level of joy and fulfillment we can get from being present. And you might say, well, Ross, that you were tripping and that was like drug induced. Right, okay, but that is true. And I probably reached a level of presence that I've not quite tasted again, in like even in like ordinary life. But what I can tell you is that I've almost been meditating for a decade now, and I get that almost that same level of presence and joy as I did then, just by, you know, when I'm walking down the street and I looking at something and with a lot of presence and a lot of focus and really absorbing in all the details, I get the same level of presence and joy. And I think what that showed me, that moment on my psychedelic trip, was that it sort of feeds into spiral dynamic stage green very strongly, because what happens in stage green is that you realize that material possessions are really not the be all and end all of life, and you start to look for, you know, you want to live in the present, you want to like divest yourself of unnecessary possessions and so on. And you basically, your whole worldview shifts. And I think that experience, whether I knew it or not, was a very important experience for me in terms of my transition into stage green, and realizing that if you are present, you can be extremely happy, even if you don't have everything, you know, in terms of like the stage orange accoutrements. So that was one experience I had. And I don't know if I'm going to go into detail with all of them. I've went into detail in other episodes. But basically, over the course of 2017, I did mushrooms two or three times. And I did acid three or four times, I think it was. And that first mushrooms experience was just the tip of the iceberg. What I was to see on my other experiences was completely life-changing. And extremely powerful, and I think it's set up my entire spiritual path. I'm not necessarily advertising psychedelics here. I just wanted to tell you what happened to me and how stage green came on for me. And I think psychedelics was a crucial part of that, because another facet of stage green, if you read the theory, is that basically there's a revival of spirituality. It's like you come out of the secular, materialist, scientific view that, you know, the world is physical and there's nothing much else going on, to spirituality that is not dogmatic. It's sort of open and flexible, and you're able to dive in and out of different traditions, different methods, different ideas, different systems. And you go on a bit of a buffet, you know, you're like, here's a bit of like Buddhism over here, here's a bit of, Hinduism, here's a bit of Christianity. And you sort of dive in and out of all of these, and you start to see the genuine value in all of them. And I think these psychedelic experiences along with my newfound love for meditation, were very important in showing me that spirituality is a real thing, you know, and it's a life-changing thing if taken to its ultimate, you know, to its ultimate level. So, yeah, that's the psychedelics were crucial for me, I think, in terms of my transition into stage green. What they also showed me is, and I don't want to go into too much detail because this could go on and on, but a new vision for my life. And I actually started to get the sense that I would be a spiritual teacher at some point on my psychedelic experiences. I had that sense. They showed me why materialism, both as like a scientific paradigm and as like a value system, is not how I should be living. And that's such a stage green realization. And they opened up that door into stage green. They opened up a door into a new identity that perhaps without them it wouldn't have been so sudden and obvious. What also happened in 2017 was that I became vegetarian. Well, actually, no, I became vegan. That's a lie. I became vegan. And this, again, it's funny because in researching for my series on worldviews, one of the researchers say about the liberal view or the progressive view is that people who are progressive tend to be vegetarian and vegan. And I kind of try to avoid these stereotypes because to me it sounds like a stereotype. It sounds like, oh, well, if you're vegetarian or vegan, then you're a liberal, or the other way around. And I don't like to make these very gross simplifications, but then I got thinking and I thought, listen, when did I actually turn vegan? And it was in 2017 when I had all this other stuff, you know, all this other stage green material flooding in. I can't quite put my finger on why. I think the doors were open. I think I was receptive to it without really knowing about it. I think I watched a documentary, I don't want to name names, but one of the main documentaries that were around on veganism at the time, it's a very famous one. And after about an hour of watching that, I just realized, I was like, what am I doing? Like, I cannot eat meat or drink, you know, consume dairy anymore. I just can't do it. And pretty much within a week, as I turned vegan, you know, I did a lot of research. And that was interesting because it made me very sensitive to animals. It made me very sensitive to people's consumption habits. It made me very sensitive to the environmental impact that we're having on by consuming so much meat and dairy. It made me very aware of how big industry works. It made me aware of how soulless the you know, the meat and dairy industries are. And that these are all very stage green realizations. I didn't quite know it at the time. You know, at the time when you're downloading all this, you're not seeing yourself, oh, I'm transitioning into a new stage of development. Because it would be sometime later that I would start learning about these things. I just thought that this was like the new way I had to live. And it seemed very obvious to me at the time. So yeah, I turned vegan back then and I've never gone back. And I don't think I've been healthier in my entire life. What also happened in 2017 was that I started doing solo meditation retreats. And that just strengthened my spiritual life even further. And I started following a Buddhist teacher around this time and I started really learning their system. And I got really, really serious about it. I did a lot of meditation that year, something like 500 hours of meditation in total. And this just strengthened that new spiritual connection I had, that new spiritual life that I had that I never really had before. not even really in a fundamentalist way, because I had a secular upbringing. It ignited my spiritual life again in, you know, the progressive or the spiral dynamic stage green form of spirituality that really came online. Another thing that's quite obvious to me right now when I look back on this period was the sensitivity aspect. So this is something that's mentioned in the theory quite a lot, that you become more sensitive, more receptive, more sort of light-hearted, more heart-centered and so on, warmer. And this came online for me in 2017. And it persisted very strongly for about 5 years, I would say. And in recent years, I've started to realize that it's quite limiting in a way, and I need to be more than just sensitive. You know, that's not enough. But I remember this first came online, had sort of this big realization about sensitivity, this big sort of shift. When I was on a meditation retreat, in a group meditation retreat, in July of 2017, it was all women, and a lot of them were pretty, looking back, pretty, you know, strong green sort of sensibilities. And so, you know, it was quite sort of touchy-feely, quite sort of hippie, you know, good vibes, you know, getting together in circles and all that stuff, sharing feelings, non-aggression and all this. And I remember when I came back from that retreat, I had this sort of lightness, this sort of light joy to me that I hadn't really had before. I think part of that was a spiral dynamic stage green sort of download, if you will. I think also it was just sort of part of the process of meditation. It does take away a lot of the hard ice on the surface of your personality. But that sensitivity thing really dominated my personality for a few years after that point. And it wasn't quite obvious to me at the time, sort of the downsides of it. And now I'm aware of the downsides. But that's another thing that came online at that time in my life. Another crucial thing that happened in that year was my realization that I could not do the profession that I was trained to do. I'd spent 4 years doing a degree for. And that was the profession of an actuary. I was going to be an actuary. I'd studied to be an actuary. And I knew the financial rewards of that. And I think what happened is in 2015 and 2016, I did internships in a company as an actuarial student. And I saw a lot of things there that I just didn't like. And I realized for the first time, I was like, is this actually going to be my life for the next 40, 50 years? Working in this job, like I had a crisis moment when I realized that that's what it would be. And also with the, you know, with exposing myself to, you know, people who were centered at Spiral Dynamic Stage Green, they morally and ethically, I started to kind of question if being an actuary was the best that I could do. You know, ultimately, you're working for insurance companies or financial companies. And I'm not saying that these companies are necessarily unethical. But at that time, I was starting to see the sort of dark side of capitalism and everything. And I just couldn't be part of that world. It just repulsed me. And that sent me into a career crisis. What I did after I left university was I started studying to be a secondary school teacher. I started getting interested in psychology and in, you know, spirituality. And I thought, well, listen, if I become a teacher, maybe I could use that in my work, you know, because I could use it to support students and be there for them and give them advice and so on. I was sort of, you know, looking back, it was more like I wanted to be a counselor or something. But after 2 months of that, I just couldn't either because I just did not like the school system. I just did not. I was like, if ever I did like a week in a school, just to, see what it was like to be a teacher. I didn't teach anything, but I was observing. And I was like, is this really going to be me for the rest of my life? And in this education system, this bloody antiquated education system. And I just could not put myself through that. And I think with the sensitivity aspect, I became very aware of my emotions and my motivations. And I realized that I actually did not feel connected at all to that profession. And after 2 months, I left that course. And what happened for the rest of 2017 was that I was left in a heap, basically. I remember from sort of October to the New Year time, I didn't really do very much with myself. I went out walking, I was reading books, I had a little bit of work, but mostly I was sort of stuck in a rut. I was like stuck in this. After having downloaded Stage Green so strongly, I was a vegan now, I was a meditator, I was into spirituality, I was reading books, I was like totally sensitive and feminine. But I hadn't yet sort of developed a purpose around that. I hadn't found like a new way to be in the world, to make a living. And so I was I felt very lost for the rest of that year, and even for the next couple of years, I felt pretty lost. I hadn't solved the issue of career yet and what I was going to be doing with my life. And that might sound kind of negative, but the thing is that I want you to realize that these stages are real. These things aren't just like nice ideas you hold in your mind. This is like an this these are transformational. They change your entire way of looking at the world. They change your way of understanding yourself. They change your identity. They change your motivations to the extent that, yes, they can make you change careers, or they can make you change partners, or they can make you go and move somewhere else, or they can change your hobbies, or all the groups you're involved in. Everything changes. And for me, everything changed in about the space of a year and a half or two. So yeah, 2017 was pretty heavy. And moving into 2018, I think one of the main things that happened in 2018 was that I discovered a spiritual center in Scotland that was a Sufi center. And what happened there was that I did a soul retreat there. I went and did retreats with them. I went and stayed there. I did voluntary work. And I ended up doing a 6 week course there as well. And this, again, I didn't understand it at the time. It didn't really make much sense to me why I was, from a big picture point of view, why I was getting involved in Sufism at the time. But looking back, it was a downloading of Stage Green. As I said, Stage Green opens you up spiritually to many different traditions, and I'd never had that before. And being involved in the center with people who were sort of progressive type people, again, this just exposed me to Stage Green even more. Being in the countryside, it was in the middle of nowhere. Being in that silence, in that peace, it just sort of strengthened all of my Stage Green values at the time, minimalism and, living simply and so on. It just strengthened all of that. And I made more friends through that. I made people who were looking back again, very sort of progressive, liberal people. And interestingly, what happened being there on the retreat and being with quite a large group of people, but not all of them were sort of progressive, liberal, sensitive types. There was a few people who were not. And I remember that those people really, I struggled to get on with them. And actually, looking back, my sensitivity and my inability to, my wanting to be nice all the time and to like, turn the other cheek and always, to to be sensitive and receptive and feminine, that actually didn't do me much good at some points. In my involvement with that center. And so that was, looking back, that I think that was both a way that my sensitivity got strengthened being part of this community, but a way that it started to be questioned a little bit. And it's something that maybe took, it was, you know, it was a seed that was sown that would eventually take root a few years later, when I was, my green dominance started to fade a bit. And also, what happened in 2018 was that I met my current partner, who at the time, I don't know about now, it's kind of like being a fish in water, you know, how do you identify how liberal someone is? She is very liberal. I don't know if she's necessarily very stage green anymore. I think she might have more yellow aspects now. But she was very stage green at the time as well. And as I said, it's not a joke, this stuff. Even down to the people you want to start a relationship with, they tend to reflect your own level of development. And if you don't, it typically is quite difficult to start a serious relationship with them. In 2018, interestingly, I started a website called, I think it was called Evolve Sphere. And it was similar to what deep psychology is in a less developed form, but it was sort of the same idea. You know, I was writing about spirituality and personal development and so on. And I think that was maybe where the seed got planted as well for this current project that I'm doing now, because I was recording videos and I was writing articles and it all felt very easy and it felt like very aligned. And I think the problem was that I didn't quite understand the potential of that. And I just didn't have the sense of direction. I was still too kind of, I was too lost in terms of my career. I was still, you know, downloading green quite heavy, which can be very destabilizing, I think. And I just didn't have sort of the motivation, the direction and the clarity I needed. But for those few months that I was working on that website, I think a lot of seeds got planted in terms of self-employment. And throughout this period, this whole period that I've been talking about, I was doing self-employed work. And I was sort of living on the fringes of society. I didn't really have a usual routine. I wasn't interested at all in having like a full-time corporate job, because I knew that something else was going to come. I wasn't quite sure what it was. I didn't know it was deep psychology. But you know, all the stage green stuff that you hear about is totally true in my case. So I think that gets you a very good idea of the stage green download. You know, there are other things that I can look at and say, you know, I started sort of rejecting capitalism and I got very cynical about politics. I got cynical about the mainstream media. I deleted all my social media accounts pretty much. I even got rid of my TV and my ex. I think I had an Xbox still at that time. I got rid of my TV and I've never had one since. You know, all the things you hear about, all these motifs, a lot of them are pretty true. That's what I would say about the time when it really started downloading. Like, I really saw a lot of quick change in my life was mid-2016 to end of 2018. And it's sort of, I think from sort of 2019 to roughly, it's hard to put your finger on this, the next couple of years, 2019 to 2020, it was all very sort of stabilized. All of the stuff that felt very new, like the veganism, the sensitivity, the minimalism, the, you know, the anti-capitalism, the not wanting to work a 9-to-5 job, you know, my friendships and everything, all that got quite stabilized and there wasn't like huge changes, but it all felt very normal and it felt like that was how I should be living my life. And I didn't really, you know, it didn't feel radically new. I didn't feel the need to do anything else either. What I've discovered now you know, studying a lot of developmental theory and studying psychology and studying, you know, the evolution of humanity and so on, is that over time I've uncovered more of my stage green self and where it is not useful for me. And even, as I said, doing research for this worldview series that I'm doing right now, I've realized that politically I've been very stage green since about 2017. And that I'm actually kind of, I understand the stage green perspective, which is kind of an apathy for politics. It's an apathy for mainstream media. You think media are sort of like poisoning you, which is kind of true, I suppose. You know, you get very cynical about war. You just kind of look at people and think, why are they warring? I wish they're so stupid. Why can't they just get together and negotiate and figure it out? They all want the same thing at the end of the day. They want to be happy, right? I was very allergic to politics. And I've realized that just in the last couple of weeks, that my allergy to politics is still very strong. And I think mostly it is a stage green thing. And also what I've realized recently is even though I've studied a lot of integral theories, biodynamics, developmental psychology and all of this, and I understand the levels of development really well in myself and in other people and in humanity, I still wasn't really understanding the stages of development fully. I wasn't really understanding the necessity of them, why they need to be there, and why they inevitably lead to problems like war and political stuff and the economy being the way it is and everything else. Why it is that these things are just necessary byproducts of the levels of development that we're talking about. It's like it's inescapable. And actually, we shouldn't try to escape them, because it's just the human condition. That's just what is happening. I think what's happened to me is that for a lot of the time I've studied this stuff, which has been probably about 5 years now or even longer, is that I've understood it and it's illuminated things for me, but it's not really fully gone right down into the depths of my being, and I've still got a lot of these stage green resistances. To, you know, like ideology and war and, you know, all of this stuff. Stage green has like its typical reactions to that. And I have had those too. And I think now I'm really ready to move beyond them. What I can see now that is coming online for me is, yes, I'm still very spiritual, very strong spiritual life, possibly more than ever. You know, I'm still vegan, vegetarian. I don't live in the same country I used to, and it's harder to be purely vegan here, but I do my best, and I'm certainly vegetarian. I'm fundamentally still a progressive person, I think, but more and more I'm coming to appreciate all human, you know, all the expressions of being human that come from all the different levels of spiral dynamics or whatever developmental model you want to look at. I'm starting to really appreciate them for what they are, and to stop demonizing them, and to really ask why these people hold the perspectives they do, and to really understand that and not to impose my perspective on them. Even when I'm reading the news, I'm reading about like the Israel-Palestine thing. The typical reaction people have is that, oh, well, one side is the bully and the other side is the victim. And my view is very different. My view is that, this isn't a political video, I just want to give you an example. You know, the green sort of way of looking at it is that one side has to be an oppressor and one side's a victim, and we should just try and make peace between the two. Or, you know, oh, well, it's religious war and this is just a delusion. You know, we should just come together and hold hands and be peaceful. What I realize now is that the way that these people see the world and the way that their political system works and the way their morals work and everything, their whole psychological complex behind it, it's all geared towards war and to rejecting people from the other side. These people cannot understand like the liberal view, the progressive view, the hippie kind of like let's live in peace thing. they cannot understand that. It doesn't make sense to them. It literally doesn't make sense to them, right? And the more I'm moving out of stage green, the more I'm being aware of my stage green, you know, views and habits in these areas, the more I'm seeing that stage green is very limited, actually. I think I will make a video on, at some point, on what yellow is like, what it's like to live yellow. I've made one on what it's like to live spirodynamic stage yellow, but I would like to do that from a personal point of view, what it's been like for me to start moving into yellow, and how that continues for me. Because I think a lot of me is, there is a lot of my psyche that is still in green. Not that we ever fully transcend green, but I think it's still like dominated by it. And I think I'm probably ready to move on. You know, it's been nearly a decade now, right? So, I think that's everything I wanted to cover in this video on, you know, what it's really like to live spirodynamic stage green. And I hope this has got you a really good, a really good visceral sense of what these stages really are. These change your entire life, your friendships, your career motivations, your values, your worldview, your political opinions, even down to your diet and like your exercise habit and stuff like that. It really all is impacted by these stages. And I hope that my, you know, detailed explanations have made that very clear. All right. If you want to train with me, you want to train with me in my psycho-spiritual system, you can do one-to-one coaching with me, or you can join me for my group classes. I'd love to see you there. Head to the website deep-psychology.com for more information on that. Thanks a lot for joining me. Make sure to subscribe, and I will see you next week for more. Take care. Thanks for listening. If you liked this episode, please leave a review. And if you'd like to get in touch, you can email me at ross@deep-psychology.com. If you'd like to go deeper, head to deep-psychology.com for articles, courses, ebooks, and one-to-one coaching. Thanks for joining me, and I'll see you soon.